All right, here we are. Wednesday night again. We're back to our normal night, Hellebass Live. What's up, everybody? Should be a good show tonight. We have Luke Palmer, Elite Series Pro. Darn near a veteran now. This is your fourth year, Luke. Does it feel like your fourth year coming up?
Man, it doesn't. It almost feels like my rookie year because I'm still getting the jitters just like I did that first year.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes it fun, right? Like, if you don't get the excitement and the jitters before a derby, it probably means you need to move on from fishing.
Yeah, you need to do something different because I think that's what's been exciting thing, you know. It's always different, you know, no matter from day to day, from hour to hour, it's always different. So that's what I think it makes it exciting for me because I'm going to have a little bit of ADHD and want to be bouncing off the walls sometimes too.
Yeah, you need that excitement and that energy, but you also can't let it overcome you. You need to be able to harness it, right? You can't let it overtake you to where it becomes a problem, but you kind of want it to, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's like, you know, you watch Iaconelli and how he, you know, goes about his side of taking negative or positive energy. You know, everybody does it differently, and he's more emotional, outspoken. I guess I'm more of the keep it to myself and just roll on and keep your, you know, you don't want your highs to be super high and you don't want your lows to be super low. You're trying to be that happy medium all the time. Is that can be tough though, but that's a big thing.
Yeah. So let us know. I think we sound good and look good. Everything looks good on my end. So everybody in the comment, let us know on YouTube. If you might be watching on Twitter, nobody's watching on Facebook because I got put in the penalty box because I streamed my kid's hockey game and there was like some background music. So I got a copyright and they like shut me down on Facebook. So yeah. Drew, it looks like you just figured it out, bud. Welcome to the team. He joined the Visor gang. Welcome. We got a little, became a YouTube member. Awesome. And Drew, good news is we're having an after hours members only stream. So we're only going to go 90 minutes tonight. And then we're going to have a members only kind of after hours hangout. Luke, I didn't tell you about that. You're more than welcome to join, but obviously if you don't want to stay up that late, I'm not putting you under the gun, but if you're having a good time and you want to stay, feel free. If not, we're, that's fine too.
I'll be here till you kick me off. I'll be here till you kick me out of here. So
just to welcome Drew to the team here, one of us. Good to see you. Thank you, Drew. I really appreciate it. Let's see who else is here. Tanner, yeah, if you get it to, I think you're asking about the membership. It's if you're on a mobile device, you got to hide the live chat. And it's usually right next to where the subscribe button is if you want to join. Otherwise, it might be easier on a computer or a tablet, but it's a little bit different every device. What's up, Daniel? You're really not that late. You're only 2 minutes late, Lord Vader. So lots of people, familiar faces. What's up, Rich? All right. Troublemaker, Josh Griffith. Cool. Bass Fishing Fool City official, Roland Martin on Monday. Best fishing day ever. That's dang, something else.
That's impressive. That would be fun. That would be a bucket list deal.
Yeah, that's cool. Rich 17, awesome. You joined the fantasy group. We'll talk more about that later tonight. And we have another member here. We got Cool Granddaddy Sweets just became a member of Team Hella. So welcome to the team as well. That's awesome. Daniel says, stay for the after party and we can trash and complain, not offend anyone. Right on. Cool. So yeah, it sounds like we sound good. Before I forget, I want to make sure I thank OmniFishing for supporting the channel and everything they do for the streams. So that's awesome. Greatly appreciate them. We don't want to forget about them. And let's see here. Yeah, what's up, Corey True? I wonder if this dark mode is making it a little harder to read than it used to. No, it looks right. It looks different on the YouTube. We're good. Never mind. So I was saying, so Luke, this is your fourth year on the Elite Series. I guess I want to commend you on your consistency because not a lot of people definitely, you know, necessarily know about Luke Palmer, but You've had 3 years Elite Series. You really only fished one full season. You dabbled in some opens for a few years, and then you fished 2018. First year really trying. You made the Elite Series, it looked like, based on looking up your stats. You have a super high percentage of cash checks, or checks being cashed. In your rookie year, you were 26th in AOI. Your sophomore year, you're 29th. And last year, you were 20th. So that's got to be like, do the math, like right around average 25th place. So like, well into the classic. You know, I think that the key is like, you've really avoided the bombs, right? You've had like, I think Knoxville got you. You had like a 95th Knoxville. At Knoxville. We won't yeah, talk
just
about
bring
Knoxville.
That one up. Just kind of, I was trying to forget that one, but you know, just go ahead.
Yeah.
And, you know, just back the bus back over me. But yeah,
that was. Yeah. But other than that, like, I think your worst finish on the Elite Series in 3 years is 62nd.
Yeah. And I don't know how I avoided them. I've just been very fortunate, I think, because, well, when I went up north to, you know, up towards y'all's water, it was definitely different, you know, when you get, because our smallmouth and northern smallmouth are completely opposite how they set up. We don't have current, or I don't have current where I'm from like y'all do on the rivers and stuff like that. So it was a complete shell shock, but I was able to mix a few largemouth in and be able to do all right. But yeah, that Knoxville tournament, I went into that deal and I was pumped. Like, I had probably one of the best practices I'd ever had. And I'd found some big smallmouth throwing a jerk bait like I like to catch them. And it did not pan out one single little bit, as you can tell with the finish. Had the fish on to do well, but, you know, that happens. But, you know, that was my – if I wouldn't have had that bad finish, if I would have got a 60th, I would have been in, you know, the top 12 to 15. You know, it was pretty tight through there, and I would consider that a really good year for me. But, you know, I'm not going to complain with 20th at all. I would take that every year from just about now on, because you're going to make the classic, and that's the – you got to make it to the show. That's that's where it all happens.
Absolutely. And if you're making the classic every year, if you're, you know, if you're in that 20 range every year, you're going to make a good career at the tour level for sure. Yeah. Welcome, Greg, to the team as well. That's awesome. Another Visor Gang member. Sweet to see you guys rolling in. Yeah, the Omnia code sometimes work on Shimano and sometimes not. And I don't think it's working right now. You kind of just got to like, it's kind of like, Shimano's super picky about their MSRP and all that kind of stuff, and they don't like people running sales and that kind of stuff. So, but I will tell you that if you're like a prisoner and you just kind of test that lock and keep testing it, every once in a while that code's gonna work. what's up, Schmolt? April says Luke is a stick. We got yeah, lots of chat. So many streams, so little time, Gramps. That's all right. You're in the right place.
I did fish opens twice, though.
So. Yeah, you kind of had like two. It was like two, but it was like just a few of them, and it was kind of a.
Yeah. I fished in, I think it was 15.
2015, 2016. Yeah,
it was 16. I was actually third in points going to a Chaffly Basin in Louisiana. I went down there and I needed 10 pounds and I caught 7.5 or 8. And that was the year that it was like from first to, I think, I don't know if I ended up 7th or 9th, but there wasn't but like 20 points involved in all that. It was super tight, which I'm glad I didn't make it, because I wasn't mentally prepared yet. And I got a real big blessing right before the year that I did make the elites, because I went and I was fortunate enough and I won that ABA Nationals. Well, that paid me enough money. I was able to run off of that money for 2 or 3 years, you know, from winning it. So
is that the weekend series Nationals or the regular ABA?
Yeah.
Okay. ABA, where was that at? I don't remember.
It was on Shreveport there at the Red River.
So you got your revenge on Louisiana.
I kind of did. So I was kind of pumped up about that one. So it was fun. I like the river. It's tough, but it's I like tough fishing, because I mean we got good fishing here in Oklahoma. Don't get me wrong, we do, but it's not Lake Champlain or Gunnersville or anything like that. So being a grinder guy like me, catching 6, 7, 8 fish a day is a big deal.
Yeah, I just got back from fishing the Wachita River in November for the Bass Nation Nationals. And actually, yeah, so Jared Miller made the classic down there. I'm sure you know Jared.
Yeah.
Got to hang out. I actually jumped his truck because his brand new diesel truck wouldn't start in the parking lot at the hotel. So I jumped his truck for him.
You need some good graces for that anyway.
It didn't work out for me. He's the one that made the classic, and I didn't for jumping his truck. So what's up, Roger? Tom upgraded his membership to Visor Gang. He didn't want to be Team Hella. He moved up. Luke is a stick or has the stick? I think both. Fair enough. I haven't fished the Corrado MGL 150, but I don't know why it wouldn't be a sweet reel. I hear nothing but good things about it. No ice fishing talk tonight. Although it's going to be cold enough, you might be able to sneak out on the back of a creek in Oklahoma, right?
No, that's when I draw the line. When I have to, I've got close to breaking ice a few times to go fishing, but I'll do a lot of things, but that's not it.
Yeah, they did. They just announced a new kayak series in Minnesota that you can qualify for the Bassmaster Kayak Championship through Minnesota now. So that's cool for the people that I've thought about getting a kayak just to mess around with, but I feel like I don't get out in my bass cat enough as it is. So I feel like I don't need to split more time. Have you ever dabbled with the little boats?
No, I never have. I mean, I still don't have as much time as a lot of guys. I mean, I fish professionally, but I don't feel like I fish professionally. You know, I'm still like, I'm at the hardware store tonight. You know, I'm still working 5.5 days a week whenever I'm not on the road fishing. And even right after a tournament, I'm jumping in a truck and driving 20 hours back home to go back to work. That's the way I have to make it. So that's what I'm doing, you know.
That's cool. And that's, if I remember correctly, I've heard you talk about it maybe on some, on BTL and some of the other places, that's like a family owned business, right?
Yeah. Been here since the '40s, and it's kind of hard to, it is for me, it's hard to walk away from something that's been, it's just been a very, it's been a good business. You know, and have a lot of really good customers, and it'd be hard to let something like this go just because, you know, just being family, you know, still my dad and me and my uncle here. And then we have, you know, 4 or 5 hands that work for us. And it's, I don't know, it's a sense of home, and it's the only thing I've ever known. You know, it's, I've grown up in the store, and I've grown up doing this and fishing. So
that's cool. And I don't know. So up here, like along, like, in La Crosse and Winona on Mississippi River, the hardware stores have some of the best tackle selections. Do you guys carry any tackle?
I've definitely done a little bit of upgrading through the years in here, and I've got to where I got a pretty good aisle. I mean, catfish and crappie fishing are still really big here, but we have a lot of farm ponds. So I keep a little bit of everything. You know, of course, I have all the stuff that I throw on tour. Just in case I might need a little bit extra. So if I go ahead and keep it in here, it might be like a little tackle shop for me on the side too. But it's, I try to keep, you know, good stuff in here, and that way guys are, you know, still, I don't know, I guess you say ahead of things instead of thinking, well, we only can throw a spinner bait and that's it. You know, I got all kinds of different things for them to throw.
That's cool. And so you're in Colgate, Oklahoma, yes. Right?
Yeah.
So what's your home body of water there? Where are you closest to, like, tournament fishery?
Yeah, I'm really not anywhere near anything. It seems like I'm an hour and 10 minutes to Lake Texoma, which is on the border, Oklahoma, and Texas. And then Lake Eufaula, which is an hour and 10 minutes north of me. So those are the two that I really grew up pounding to death. The Arkansas River's 2.5 hours for me. Get up there to Jason Christie's water, 10 killer. Gibson, all that, it's all 2.5-3 hours for me to get there. So I didn't spend near as much time up there as I have on the Texoma when you follow. And they're very diverse between both of them. I mean, we don't have grass, which kind of sucks, but one's pretty much sand and the other one's rock. So it's gave me a good diversity of how to learn to fish those two type of waters and be able to expand it across the country, I guess.
What's up, Sean? Good to see you. I was going to say, so Eufaula, right? I hear Matt Pangrack talk about it. Like, it sounds like it's an amazing tournament fishery, but it doesn't really have like the infrastructure or a town to really host. Like, I mean, like it would be a great lake for an elite series or a pro tour type event, but it doesn't really have the town or the hotels to really like lure them in. That's what it sounds like.
You know, it's weird you say that. And I stopped by Bass in Arkansas one day coming through, and Tommy Sanders come up and he's like, "Luke, when are we going to go to Eufaula?" I'm like, "Tommy, I would love for us to go to Eufaula, but I said, I don't know if, like you said, the town infrastructure is there to really do it." They are starting to do some upgrades around the lake where we'd come out of if we did have it, but it would be awesome. I mean, it's got giant smallmouth, you know, the state record was out of there for a long time. It was just over 8 pounds. I've caught several 5 to almost 7 pound smallmouth out of there. They're not as plentiful as they are up north, but when you do find them, they're normally big. You have creeks. You can run up the river. You can go fish gin clear water. You can go fish dirt shallow. You can do anything at that lake and be successful in any time of the year is what's really cool about it. And it always takes, you know, anywhere from 18 to 27 pounds. I know it's a big variety, but that's where it can, you know, land as far as weights. And but it would take 18 to 20 a day just to win there if we ever went there, probably. Hit it the right time, you know.
For sure.
And it'd be fun.
First week of September.
Yeah. Which, you know, heck, it still takes, you know, that's when a lot of the championships are here in Oklahoma is, you know, September. Even we don't get fall until about mid-November, it seems like.
Right.
So it, you know, September and October suck, but I've had, you know, 34 to 40 pounds to win in 2-day tournaments then, you know, with 100, 150 boats in it. So it's that place is massive. I mean, you can run, it's 120,000 acres, give or take, I think. So you can travel on it for dang sure.
Yeah, awesome. So growing up in Oklahoma, are you the typical Oklahoma shallow power? I mean, like, what would you kind of angler? Is that your comfort zone?
It is. I mean, I've talked to a few guys. I didn't own a spinning rod when I got on tour. I mean, I didn't, and I was
so 2000. Like, you're saying 2018, 2019. There was no spinning rods in Luke Palmer's belt.
I went trout fishing when I was in college. There was a little trout stream beside us, and I wore it out with a little 5-foot Snoopy pole, pretty much. And that was my spinning rod techniques, and it took a while. I mean, that was a deal. I mean, you can take me and probably put me and Christy in the same boat, and we'd have the same tackle. I mean, you never had a fish over 8 foot of water in Oklahoma. It didn't seem like to do really well, no matter what time of year it was. So yeah, I'm definitely, if you gave me a jig and braid and a 7-6 rod, I could go pound some bushes for you.
Right on. So if you feel like you are more comfortable with the spinning rod now when you go up north?
Yeah, I am. I guess when COVID hit, I was starting to get a little more comfortable with it. But when it hit, I have some places to go to around here that are close and to get your confidence up with it. And I took a Yum Dinger and the spinning rod, and that was it. I would go and I would throw a wacky worm all day long at those places and catch fish and try to get accustomed with, you know, skipping under trees or just whatever. I mean, that's all I would do. My dad, we could get in. I had an aluminum boat we could get in these places with, and he would have 10 different rods back there, different stuff, and I would have like literally a 30 or 50 pack of dingers and my little spinning rod. That's it, because I just wanted to get better at it, because yeah, those little guys, yeah, that pack probably that one exactly. And I would take it, because just like, you know, baseball or hockey or whatever you do, if the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. And so now instead of skipping on top of the docks, I can skip it under them every now and then.
There you go. So what's the dinger of choice? You like a straight green pumpkin? Do you like a little fleck in there? Do you got any sneaky dinger colors you like?
No, I'm about as simple as you can possibly get on colors. I mean, I'm across the board like that, no matter what I'm throwing. Green pumpkin purple is my pride and joy. I mean, that's one of my deals. I mean, you can catch them in Texas and Florida and all the way to, you know, Mississippi, all the way up north, you know, whatever. And you know, of course you gotta have black and blue, and I throw a June bug. Those are my three main colors that I've that are a staple for me. Just because I just don't get too erratic with my stuff. That's what I have extreme confidence in. And if I'm going away with my confidence, if you go against your confidence against these guys, they're going to beat your teeth in. I mean, that's just how it is.
That's for sure. So you talked about, you basically, you go fish an event, maybe a couple if they're back to back, and then you're right back to the hardware store, which leads me to believe you're not doing a lot of pre-practice for these events. So you're basically using your 3 days to break down a lake. What's kind of your, without giving away your juice, like what's, you know, what's your process for breaking down these lakes that you haven't been to before?
Which, you know, I mean, of course, I'm going to watch some YouTube stuff just for the heck of it. I mean, just to give an idea, you know, I'll go look at, try to look at some weights throughout tournaments, but it's really hard to go off of weights from tournaments because you have local guys fishing and it's just different. The weights are just completely different. It seems like from local derbies to fishing elites, they're just, it's not the same. It doesn't seem like to me. I mean, that's my opinion. Now I've got to go and look at a few lakes prior knowledge or prior to them, which has been very helpful just to get me a little bit of feel of how the lake is, you know, whether say I'm catching them off of points. Well, I know I marked 20 other points down the lake that are the same type of stuff. But I'm a high percentage guy as far as what I'm looking for. As far as those sneaky cuts and that take a lot of time to find, I'm not as good at that. And I think that's bad for me, because that's how you win tournaments, is when you got that little sneaky hole you can pull in, catch you one or two fish, and then get out of there. But over 4 days, that can be a huge thing. Mm-hmm. But I do get into what I have a lot of confidence in. If I can catch fish, you know, flipping a dinger or flipping a jig or whatever like that I'm confident in, I can run that through an entire lake and feel good about it. But then it seems like my best tournaments have been my worst practices. And that, you know, a lot of guys say that, and that's really what happens. You know, the Knoxville term we kind of talked about, I had a phenomenal practice. I said, it's going to be no problem for me to catch 14, 17 pounds a day, and had that like it was nothing. I mean, I was doing that in the first 2 hours of every day. I said, this is going to be gravy. And, it was not gravy, you know, ended up 95th. So it wasn't, but I got too zoned in to one or two things. And instead of allowing the fish to tell me what was going on or what they were doing and working with the fish.
Yeah.
But like I said, as far as going into a new body water, I'm going to go to my high percentage stuff. You know, there's always fish on points. So, you know, you just have to find out what points they're on. Are they on your secondaries or primary points or in the back of creeks or pockets or whatever, you know, but I stay true to my colors. I stay shallow most of the time. I mean, less than 12 foot of water, 90% of the time, that's what I'm going to be doing.
Cool. Yeah, that's really, I mean, you know, I obviously don't fish tournaments at the same level as you do, but I see the same things and you hear the same things. And it's like every once in a while, a really good practice manifests into a blowout win, right? Every now and then, yeah. Where you very catch rare. It just, your great practice gets, you know, that pattern gets better and carries you through. But a lot of times, right, if you're doing that well in practice, it's probably going to be over before the end of a multi-day tournament.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times a one-day tournament you can get through based on what happened in practice, right? But it's typically when you get a couple clues and then you kind of just run with those, that's when the best tournaments seem to unfold in front of you.
You know, the other one, I Gunnersville, we talked about it a little bit. I had a really good tournament there this last year, and I was catching 24 to 30 pounds in practice. It was, I mean, and doing it pretty easily. And I was thinking, this is not good because it's getting warm, and where these fish are at, it's starting to go away. Right. And sure enough, by the final day, it was pretty well gone, which the weather kind of dictated a little bit of that. But like you said, I found it first morning right off the bat, and then all of a sudden it was just going away, and I knew it was going away, and that scared me, because I mean, you know, end up getting blown out by
Caleb.
Caleb, yeah. He stuck it to us good. So, and where he was at, those fish were kind of still stationed there right before they went out to the deep stuff.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so if you watch videos, I may or may not have fished the Northern Regional and Lacrosse the same week last year that you're going to be fishing it this year. There may or may not be videos on my channel. Jay Shakurit also fished that tournament, Elite Series Rookie, who was our guest last week. So he top 10 there. So GeeFan says, you mentioned YouTube. So do you just kind of search the lakes you're going to? Is there any content that you watch in general or any people? Or like, what? How do you approach YouTube as somebody that fishes at your level? What kind of, how do you use YouTube as a tool?
I don't know if it, I use it. I enjoy fishing. Like I said, I'm an ace dealer here at my hardware store. On Mondays, I get my ace order in. I mark literally everything with a tag. Everything that comes in here, I mark everything. So I sit back here in the back and I prop my old phone up there and listen to, you know, I like to just listen. Because you can learn something from anybody. Right. I mean, it's liable to be a kid that's 5 years old and he's liable to do something weird with how he rigs his worm. You know, I mean, just something awkward. And you're like, well, that could, you never know. Aaron Martins was the world's greatest at doing that. He would talk to a 5-year old kid just as much as he would talk to a 55-year old guy. And, but as far as me approaching the YouTube, I just want to get a idea of the lake because it can go back to dock talk. Just like, you know, I mean, you get to the dock and everybody's like, well, I'm catching 25 pounds a day. And, you know, and you're over here thinking, well, heck, I've only caught 12 pounds a day and I've been here for a week. What the heck am I doing wrong that's so much better than all of a sudden that guy comes in with 4 pounds, you know, and it can mess with you mentally. I just like to get an idea of maybe a what the fish maybe do. Or they, you know, it might as be as big as, hey, are they big time perch eaters? Are they big time shad or herring or just whatever that is? And then you can kind of relate to what those food sources do throughout the year. And that's my main kind of thing. And then just knowing kind of what time is, you know, mainly because we fish through the spawn. I mean, that's when they got us going. You know, everywhere we go is pretty well spawn related until we get up north. And, you know, just knowing like, okay, hey, in May, they're done at Gunnersville. You know, just to, you can almost block that part out to where you can utilize your time better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you guys are enjoying this and you appreciate Luke's time, if you want to tap that thumbs up button, for the like button, then a little more people will get some eyes on and we'll get a few more people. We might still hit 100 tonight if we hit the like button. Critical Gravy, which I always love his name. Are there any techniques that you, he says stink at, but is there anything you don't have a lot of confidence in that you maybe wish you did, or that you kind of are aiming to get better at? Obviously you did that with a spinning rod a couple seasons ago. Is there anything else that you're kind of,
I don't know. I like to do everything really. I mean, I love learning new things. I caught a fish at a 48 feet this fall, and I've never done that in my life on a drop shot on a spinning rod. Scared the heck out of me. My boat got scared. It never been that deep in its life. And, so I'm up to learning new things. And, but I mean, the deep drop shotting with a graph, I'm not very good at that. I would like to be. I don't think I have the patience to do it as much. As I mean, you know, I've watched guys over the years and the whole technique and how precise they are with their line size and stuff like that. Just like Taku, he's allowed to be throwing like 3-pound test line. Heck, I'm going to break that when I'm pulling it tight to cinch my knot down. And just the attention to detail of that, I'm not good at. Because I like to stick, you know, 50 or 65 pound braid on and just go let it eat, you know, and do the real deal.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. Like when Jason Christie won his two events on Lake Sinclair, he was fishing with bait casters.
Yeah. I mean, that's me and him have got around each other a lot more now, especially we've never fished against each other that I know of. Mm-hmm. And we're only 2 hours apart. You think we'd have ran into each other sometime. But he got on FLW about the time that I actually started fishing tournaments, probably.
Right.
You know, back when I was 11, you know, and he was already banging out big money and stuff. And I'm here still, don't even know what life is yet. But we're a lot alike as far, I mean, he's a phenomenal angler. I'm nowhere near him. But how our approach is on certain things, we don't like to have a bunch of rods out. If we got 4, 5, 6 rods, that's almost too many. So when we get down to 1 or 2 or 3, we're there. What we want to do. And so it's kind of cool seeing that too.
Do you run into Jason? I mean, you guess you only fish with him one season elite. Do you find yourself in similar parts of the lake or the rivers and areas?
I think he's kind of got that special Indian side to him. He can like sneak in and out of trees and you never see him. I think I've only seen him like 2 or 3 times.
Is he sneaky just in practice or in the tournament too?
Both. I think he does like little smoke signals and just vanishes and does his own thing. But I mean, well, we talk quite a bit more now as far as I do the camping thing. He stayed in a few houses right there close around campgrounds and stuff. And then we're with Yum and Booyah together. So we shot some, you know, stuff together, and he's a really cool guy. I really like Jason. I don't like having to fish against him as much because, you know, he's pretty good. And so I'm glad he's back though.
Yeah, it's cool. Geek fans said he left the Mr. Bass Stream where John Cox was to come hang out with us. So that's there you go. you got a sneaky confidence bait that we wouldn't expect, Dad Bod Angler?
Believe it or not, I throw a Yum finesse worm quite a bit. It gets bites. I mean, I throw it on a bait caster though on a drop shot. I kind of keep that one to myself a lot around here, but it's been my thing. Whenever it would get tough and have to fish behind people and the jig doesn't always work, I could pick that up and catch them right behind guys and stuff. And it was good to me for a long time.
Kind of a semi power shot type thing.
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of weight are you throwing on that?
I would normally be throwing like a 3/8, because I'm still going to be throwing it on 16 to 20 pound test. Cause I would throw it in stuff where you're not supposed to throw it.
Like a little straight shank. Hook.
Yeah. A little low straight that, you know, keep it Texas rigged, you know, weedless anyway. And yeah, I wouldn't nose hook anything because I'm liable to throw it in brush piles, throw it in people's dogs.
Like a little rebarb type style hook or something. Yes, like that.
Yeah. But that was my
Josh says
that
he's coming. Josh says he's going to be in the shop tomorrow.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I might try to slip out tomorrow. It'd be too cold for me to work, so I'll hide in the back.
That's because he's at the office. Those are the books back there, probably.
Yeah, this is where it all happens. The non fun part. So, but that's, I mean, we got baits.
There you go. So
we got some stuff.
Let's look at some baits. We always like looking at baits. What do you,
this is, I mean, everybody knows them. I mean, the Booyah Hard Knocker. I mean, it's kind of a staple for me big time in December, January, February, March. You know, just because it's so consistent at catching fish, you know, I've used it from Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, and it just catches them, you know. That was a major player whenever I fished my first classic at Guntersville. I'd done quite a bit with the Bad Mamma Punch and mats, but I would go catch me a few fish on my, you know, my one knocker and give me some confidence because I love ripping out of grass, even though we don't have it here. I just, once I kind of figured out how to do it a little bit, it's one of the best bites that I've ever had. And there's nothing like when you rip it out of that grass and it flutters down and it just gets completely train wrecked. But, you know, I keep it pretty simple on my color wise, reds and chrome and blue, chrome and black. I don't, like I said, with my my dingers and stuff like that. I only got three or four colors. Well, that's kind of about really how I stay on my, you know, my one knockers.
So the Booyah one knocker is basically the replacement of the, what were they before? The
Excaliburs.
Excaliburs. Do you feel they're the same bait? Like, you know, because there's a lot of people that pay a lot of money on eBay for those Excaliburs. What's your thoughts on it?
I'm not going to. It ain't that much difference to me. It doesn't seem like, because I've got a few of them that I've kind of kept back over the years. But rattle baits, you don't technically, you don't lose as many of them. It doesn't seem like, because, you know, I mean, of course you throw them in rocks, it's, you're going to lose some, or you're going to lose some occasionally around timber. But the using that, I've got me 15 or 20 in a box of, you know, three different colors, and that's really about all I carry. But I do have a few of the Excaliburs from years ago, but the new ones and stuff like that are, to me, just as good.
What are you, mainly half ounce?
Oh yeah, I'm a diehard half ounce guy. But my thing is, on the half ounce, is I can make it a quarter or I can make it a three quarter with just switching my line size. Whenever we were at Gunnersville, at that classic, I was throwing mine on 16 to 18 pound test line. I was fishing shallow eelgrass and some hydrilla mixed in, but you know, and I would throw a 12 when I was out in that 4 to 8 feet of water, just so I could allow the bait to get down there a lot quicker. But I just go and change my line size. That way I don't have to carry as many different sizes and colors and stuff. Now I do have some bigger ones, you know, some 3/4 ounce, but half ounce, if I was just going to have anything at all, I can throw a half ounce in there and I'm pretty well good to go, no matter where I'm at in the country, because you can fish from a foot of water out to, you know, 8 or 10 foot of water with it and still get by with it.
Yeah. Are you mentioned the one knocker, is that you pretty much stick with that, or do you play with both versions? Or
I play with both versions. I think the one knocker on the more pressured lakes, it seems like I can get a few more bites out of it. But it's, you know, and like I said, I've got them, I'll have them both tied on, you know, I would have the exact same color tied on side by side. And if you find a good grass bed that's got them in it, you might have to switch it up back and forth to keep them going once you get it going on them.
Rich says the Booyah one knocker crushed bone color is the one.
It may be in my box too.
I don't throw a lot of bone crankbaits, but I throw a ton of bone topwaters. I don't know why it makes sense, but
no, it's good.
See here. John says, assuming you throw the mobster swim jig, what's your setup? Favorite trailer, and what's your setup? Or if it's just swim jigs in general, do you throw swim jigs? And
what's your setup? Oh yeah. Oklahoma, we've got water wheel in a few areas. I like the spine crawl. It's kind of the new deal they've come out with the last year or two. I really like it because I'm like a speed crawl. It seems like the speed crawl it slowed my jig down too much. Where the spine crawl, the legs aren't quite as thick and they don't displace as much water. They still have a ton of action, but it allows me to work my jig faster. And when I'm swim jigging, I like to get a reaction strike. That's my main thing. I'm not a slow guy swimming along. I like to really get it moving. And you know, I stay with, I only like same thing with it. You know, I only run three or four colors. You know, your white, green pumpkins and black and blues can get you by with a vast variety of things. And also you can kind of see on the shank of it and stuff, how it's got the little arms coming off the body of it. That also can help slow your jig movement down, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's displaying a bunch of water, not just off of the legs. But it's not so much that it still allows your jig to move fast. Because, you know, I'll bite it down a little bit if I have to, wanting to get a little faster pace out of it. But that mobster swim jig's, it's a dang good one. I really like how there's a lot of grass and get slime on it, and it does, and it seems like that mobster head, the way it does, it displaces it enough to where it doesn't just stick on your head of the bait all the time.
Are you a floral guy, braid guy for swim jigs?
I like braid. Kind of depending on how the bite is, though, I'll kind of dictate. I mean, I'll get over to 22-pound Sunline, but I'm normally going to run a 60-pound braid. At FX2 is what I really like.
Dustin, no plans for a giveaway tonight. Nothing in the works. But
that was right off the bat. He missed it.
Yeah. Yeah. You missed the $100 gift cards right away. Just giving away knowledge tonight, Dustin. No tackle giveaways tonight. But we will talk about fantasy fishing a little bit later, and I will talk about how you can win some stuff in my fantasy fishing group. So stay around for that. Let's see here. I saw a couple other questions. Do you sense it all? Just what's in the baits? Is there anything you mess with?
I didn't as much, but when we got up to St. Clair and stuff, I started doing a little bit of that. I was kind of, I don't know. We sometimes give fish too much credit, I think. But those fish up there, it seems like the pressure, I think, can get to them. And smallmouth, you know, they'll come from 5 miles to hit a bait, but they're liable to swim 200 mile an hour to get there and then lock it up as soon as they get there. Like, nope, I'm good, and turn away. I don't know if it would be scent would help out, but I had some yum scent stuff that I'd go ahead and spray in my bag just to get a little bit extra to it. I don't really do that very much, but when I do go up north, I normally try to do a little bit extra just in that gin clear water. Cause hell, they can see it, you know, no matter what you're throwing, they can find it. But maybe that little bit extra attraction to it does help.
Yeah. And I think in current situations like St. Clair and St. Lawrence, you know, that's kind of like a slick line, a trail of scent can help.
Oh yeah.
So you said the hardware store is a family business. Is fishing a family thing as well?
It is. Well, I say that it's pretty much me and my dad. Of course, my uncle fished some, grandpa fished some, but my dad was the main guy. He got me going. I mean, he fished tournaments when I was growing up and before me. And that was I always wanted to be around him. You know, I was up watching Bassmasters instead of watching cartoons on Saturday mornings. I was watching Bassmasters. That was I loved it. But he started letting me go, you know, pond fishing and stuff. Of course, I went a bunch when I was little. But then mom was like, you need to start taking your son to the lake. I guess because I was driving her nuts because I always wanted to go. And I loved it. And it was one of them deals. And finally, I guess when I was 10 or 11, Dad, he's said, all right, let's start fishing tournaments. And everything kind of worked out. And he actually let me run the front the first – I wasn't the first term, but the second one, he's like, have at it. And so I pretty much had to man the helm and get our butts kicked for the next 7 or 8 years. Got some good lessons, which it worked out good for me. It gave me some confidence. It also told me how to, you know, you got to be able to take a butt kicking, and I took a lot of them. So fishing, you're not, you know, you're going to win or lose a heck of a lot more than you're going to win. So it was fun. It helped me get better over the years, and plus it laid me a lot of time with my dad. I mean, that was our thing. On Saturdays and Sundays, we were going to the lake somewhere fishing together, and that was just our bond, other than working 24/7.
Nice. Very cool. So I feel like some people are filtering in here right now. So just a reminder that if you came in late and you're enjoying the knowledge, think about hitting that thumbs up, hit the like button. That'd be helpful. We'll probably hit 100 here in a little bit with you guys' help. That'd be awesome. looks like Lord Vader has a story about his kids. Are you talking about Luke? If you're Lord Vader, or which one of your Star Wars children are you talking about? let's see here. Do you like the frog? Is that something?
Yeah, I'm not a super big frog guy, but I mean, I'd love throwing them. I mean, you know, nothing like a fish blowing up on a frog. You know, I like Booyah's Pad Crasher and the Poppin' Pad Crasher. Those are my two staples. And I keep it pretty simple on my frogs. I have black, and then I have, don't know. Is it like the tree frog? It's, you know, the green back and the kind of the white and yellow belly.
Yeah. I don't kind of natural, right?
Yeah. I don't get really spun out on that because to me, if they're coming up to a mat, they're not going to be able to see nothing but black, you know, sitting above them. And that, so that was kind of my intake on that. Cause I'm not just, I'm not a great frog fisherman, but when they are eating it, I will pick it up and throw it. I'd rather flip, just because I feel like I cover more, but I know that frog gets a lot bigger bites, it seems like.
Yeah. And I would say that I always tell people the pad crasher may not be the very best frog, but it's probably the best frog for the money there is.
Oh yeah. 100%. It's very consistent. Make sure you pack
extras because the pike are hungry in lacrosse.
Oh yeah. That's kind of
pro tip for you there.
That's the only bad thing about coming up north is your little toothy critters definitely take a lot of tackle from me.
And you might lose less frogs than you will tungsten by flipping. So
that is we went to Cayuga. I guess it's my first year, I think. I got tired of retying. Like you would throw a drop shot out there, pick up, and you just pick up and it'd break off. Because then pike would grab hold and it was like you wanted.
No, you wouldn't even feel the bite. You just lift and all of a sudden your line goes over.
Yeah. Oh, I was sick. Like I left the north end where everybody caught them. I'd fished up there and practiced for 2 days, and I was like, the heck with this. I mean, when you lose 40 or 50, it kind of starts getting in your pocket, and you're like, yeah, I'm good.
I feel like this is a personal question. Maybe we'll save that for the after show. If Luke sticks around the after show, maybe he'll tell you the details on that. What's up, Bailey? Good to see you. Yeah, I actually just ordered one of those today too, Dad Bod Angler. The Bait Monkey finally got me. I had been really good. I hadn't ordered anything since like right around the Black Friday time, and then Omnia had some deals in today, and then the DT8s came in, and the Tiny OGs came in, and I finally broke and bought like $100 worth of stuff today. And I bought a Sproul Flapping Frog because that literally looks cool to me, and I want to try that out. There you go. A little behind the scenes. Day in the life, the hardware store and the ranch. It's Instagram's kind of like that. You get about 50% fishing content and 50% hardware and ranch life on the IG.
Which Bass just did a little skirt on me for kind of the in between shows, kind of a little bit about it on their home page. So Bassmaster.com, look that up.
There you go. And then yeah. So, and then I think it's Luke Palmer Fishing on Instagram, right? If people want to follow you.
Yeah. That and Facebook both. The real Yellowstone.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't know. Am I Rip or am I Dutton? Which one?
People want to know what's in the Solo Cup.
I just got some water. I went and I was feeding cows and I literally drove straight up here and got in the hardware store, set my phone up and got me a glass of water.
There you go.
That's what I had in the back because that's the only cup I had back there, I think.
Unsweet tea for me tonight. Nothing special.
It wouldn't be bad except I'd be up half the night probably, so I'll have to pass on the tea.
You play around with any big baits at all? I feel like most tournament anglers try to stay away from them because they're like playing with fire. But
I do. I'm simple about my stuff. I don't tarry too far out, but I do keep a pretty good array of a couple colors of money minnows. You know, I do like those as far as a swim bait for me. We got a few more things kind of in the works as far as some smaller swim baits, which they kind of start coming out. That Scottsboro Yum's got it, and we've kind of done some different things with it. And it's been, I really liked it, especially for a single swim bait, you know, the 3-inch up to, you know, maybe 5-inch.
That's the thing with the ranch. You don't gotta hit the gym, right? You get the
not quite as much, but it was I still try to go to the gym, work out a little bit. When we get on season, it's I don't eat near as much. I don't take care of my body like I need to, and I've got to get better at that. It's because, and you go for 7 days and you eat maybe 1.5 meals a day because you're so rolling. I don't think about eating. I don't think about drinking. Mm-hmm. Nothing. All I want to do is fish.
B B-Rock, I don't know. Are you on the ice? Are you in the ice shanty? Like, what's knowing him? He's probably ice fishing right now. Do you have ice or any kind of front facing sonar in the boat?
Oh yeah, I mean that was kind of a deal that, yeah, I had to have it. I mean, I've crappie fishing's big time here.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's I got one a few years ago and was using it for that, and it was a lot of fun. And got to where if you don't have one, especially up north, it's tough. You know, I mean, it helps you pick up a few more. If it picks up three fish a tournament for me, it's paying for itself.
Well, it looks like we're over 100 now, so that's awesome. Thanks, everybody. Got a little, what do I think? I had something here. Do I still have it? There we go. A little fireworks for hitting 100. Just a little celebration. So your electronics, are you kind of like, are you build your own custom setup? Are you all one brand? What kind of setup do you have for your boat?
I was running, last year I ran Hummingbirds with a Garmin on it. This year I'm fortunate. I got a really good dealer over at Horizon. He takes care of me and he does a good job across the board, period. But I think this year I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna actually run all Garmins. I'm gonna run 212s at the back and I'm actually just gonna run 210s up on the front.
There you go. Let's keep it simple, you know.
Yeah, I'm not. Everybody's got like 3, 6, 7, 8 units on their boat. And I'm like, boy, I can't handle the clutter. And I like to try to keep everything as simple as possible for me and what I'm used to. You know, I mean, the Garmin deal, it's, I put Garmins on my dad's boat. So whenever I'm home, I can, you know, transfer waypoints a lot easier and more efficiently for us. And then plus if I ever had issues, we could, you know, yank a unit off, whatever we needed to do. And it took me a little bit of time to kind of get used to them because they're different. You know, I've ran Lowrance's, Hummingbirds, and now Garmin's. They all have their plus and minuses to each one of them. And so I'm kind of anxious to see how the Garmin deal really works out. Everything's been good so far with them. And I guess if anything, I'm going to have to pick Christy's brain, see if he'll help me out. He might steer me in the wrong direction, though, and kind of be one less problem for him.
So I know Panger's super anti as an Okie. Well, I mean, he's kind of a transplant Okie, but are you anti Carolina rig or what's your,
you know, I don't care for it as much, but I mean, that was kind of a staple, you know, whenever, right. You know, drop shot was not a thing, you know, before, you know, back, I had a guy bring me some stuff from California, a good buddy of mine, a bird. And he brought me some stuff and had these little bitty tiny snail hooks and all this. And I was like, this is junk. I'll never throw this crap. And before you know it, he was telling me, you know, what about that stuff now? You know, it's a major deal. And I think he brought me a bunch of robo worms and stuff like that. So I was thinking, this is that California stuff that ain't going to work. And it does. But no, I still got a Carolina rig tied on. You know, that's still a good, I mean, we use it quite a bit in Oklahoma still. Texas, it's a big deal down there. I mean, I don't know what possesses those fish to really eat a Carolina rig so good, but they love it down there. And, you know, and even around shell beds and stuff like that in Florida, we, you know, I'll have one tied on probably 60% of the year.
So Tiptoe, do you prefer it solo or as a buzzbait trailer?
I like it as a buzzbait trailer more. I've never been, you know, I mean, Horny Tone was a big deal when it kind of first came out. And I never really got zoned in on that, just a toad reeling it across the top. But that just wasn't my forte, I guess. I'd rather be throwing a popping pad crash or something like that as I would, you know, that type of bait.
Yeah, do you ever mess with the toad runner, which is kind of a in between?
Yes, that when it first came out, it was sick. I mean, those fishes, like, they'd never seen anything like it before in their life. And I threw it at Gunnersville a lot. And it was just something different for those fish instead of that just regular walk back and forth. And they would come unglued on it. But I throw it a lot. I mean, I almost like it better than a buzzbait just because I like the hookup ratio on it pretty well. And it just gives them something different. And I don't get hung up with it either.
All I guess this is a good time to remind people that, what was I going to say here? Come on. That you all should, if you're going to play fantasy fishing this year, you should keep an eye on Luke, because Luke is a tremendous value in fantasy fishing, in my opinion.
You're going to put it on me like that, so I'm probably going to bomb.
He's sneaky good. He rarely lets you down. He's a safe pick, I think. So
until we go up north, then you might want to.
As long as it's not, as long as it's not Knoxville in February,
yeah, or St. Lawrence River, then we'll be all right.
But even that wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't. Boy, I thought that St. Lawrence one, I really thought I'd do a little bit better in it. But I was on a jerk bait deal, and it's either hero or zero up there, and that's what happened to me.
Yeah. So go ahead, feel free to join the top private group in fantasy fishing. Let's see if we can catch Bailey at Serious Angler Podcast with our private group. Let's get Ronnie Moore. The first thing I want to do is catch Ronnie Moore and reel him in, even though his is public group and ours is private, and you'll be competing for, I want to officially announce this now, is that Omnia Fishing will be supporting the fantasy fishing group in every single event. So that's 10 events. There will be a regular fantasy fishing event winner and a Drain the Lake event winner. And they'll be giving away $25 gift cards to Omnia Fishing for each event. And you will only be competing against the people that watch this channel and play in the private group. So you can join the Tackle Warehouse group, but you're going to be competing against, 15,000 people by the end of the year. And hopefully it's just a 1,000 or so, passionate fans here. So beat Hellebass, password is visor, all capital letters. So if you are going to play, we're going to have a lot of fancy fishing talk throughout the season, videos on the streams, things like that. And when in doubt and you're not sure, Luke's a good pick in the bucket. He's a good value. No pressure. Don't make me look dumb.
No pressure. Just put it on. That's all right. That's cool. I'm going to have to. There you go. Now I've got another reason to try to catch him. So
there you go. Trevor said he signed up yesterday. So there you go.
You're going to have all these Luke Palmer picks, and he's going to bomb the first two, and they're going to be cussing.
You did okay last year. I'll say you had a pretty strong start. I want to remember top 20 last year on the St. John's. Yeah. That sound right? What are your thoughts on Florida? You like Florida? Does it make you nervous? I mean, it's nice to go there when it's 20 degrees in Oklahoma, but it's grass.
I do like the St. John's. It's a fun place to go, but it's not normal Florida fishing like you expect. It's got a bunch of lily pad stuff you fish. That's really, I guess, that's the primary thing. Because there's no eelgrass anymore. I guess Rodman's probably got some grass in it now, but as far as the river, it's pretty, I guess, kind of, I don't want to say desolate, but it is. You got pads and you got some laydowns and stuff, and that's really about it. Docks, of course. But when you do get around them, you can flat out catch them. I think it was day two last year. We had a big fog delay the first day, and when I got to my area, I didn't have very long to fish. And I sat there and I caught 15 or 20 keepers in an hour span and left out of there, and they just wasn't the size that I needed, of course. But I went in there the second day, and second or third day, I can't, whatever it was. And it was the third day, I guess. I pulled in there and I told my guy, I said, we'll catch some fish. And like my third flip, I started catching them, and it was just a knockdown drag out for the rest of the day. And he said he's going to catch a few. He said, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Like, he was constantly on his phone having to update and stuff. It was fun, when it's like that. It was just a matter of catching a 6 or 7, 8 pounder, and that didn't happen.
But John's doing fact checking on us. 30 second.
That'd be all right. I'd take a 30 there and get out of it and be happy with
it. I was going to say, Florida's the kind of place where, you want to win or top 10, but it can bite you. So, getting out of there with a top 40, top 47 this year? Is that going to be the line for the big check?
I don't know if it's 50 or 47 or 45 or whatever it is. I don't keep up with that side of it much. You fish for checks, but you don't. It doesn't really make sense, I guess. But I go and I do the best possible I can do. I mean, if you win one, it's going to fall into place. I mean, that's just how it is to me. But I'm just going to go and catch as much weight as I can every day. And that's all you can ask for. You know, I mean, you got to back off a little bit sometimes. You just can't sit there and beat the heck out of 2-pounders or whatever. But you kind of have to judge that part of it. But I go out and do the best I can. And when I get off the water, I know I've put every bit I've got into it, you know. And then you just got to be satisfied with that. Because when you get done at 3 o'clock, whatever it is, you can't go back and catch another fish before that or do anything. So you're done. Go next day, make a better decision and roll on about it.
Yeah. So we were talking a little bit right before we went live, and you're kind of the boat's not quite ready. The truck's not ready. When are you going to go to Florida? You got what? We got 3 weeks before the season starts. Not even practice starts. What, like February
6th or 7th, 8th, somewhere in there.
Yeah, the tournament starts the 10th, so they probably have a media day in there, so it's probably right around the 6th somewhere in there.
Yeah, I'm planning on leaving the 4th. That's my plan. I think it's a Thursday, and that way I can give myself a day and a half to drive down there, because I used to do the drive, just heck with it, and drive my 24 hours, but then you got to have another full day to recover, and it's really not worth it to me. So I'll drive me 16, 18 hours, and then you know, and pull over, sleep in the camper, and get up and do it again. But it'll be ready. Aaron, he always gets me there. It just, you know, like I said, a few things have changed this year. Got a couple deals that stepped in here late, which has been a big blessing for me.
Can you talk about them?
Not quite yet. Not quite yet. Well,
so it'll be fair to say that the wrap's going to have a new look. Is that
it'll be the same look or same pattern, but it's going to have a different name or two on there. And there'll be a few people around here that know the name pretty well, and they'll tell me I'm right at home, I'm sure.
Okay, cool. So we'll have to wait for the IG, right? The Luke Palmer fishing at Instagram. There'll be a reveal.
Okay. Yeah.
It'll probably be like 7 p.m. on February 3rd as you're pulling out, like, oh yeah, here's my new wrap, guys, I'm heading to Florida.
That's it. Now I imagine it'll probably be done this weekend or first of next week, then I'll drop my truck off and he'll get that knocked out for me, so I don't worry about it, because he always takes care of me. So I don't get worried about anything like that, because when it comes to, I don't know, I was listening to Edwin one night talking, and you know, we're going fishing. We're not going to Normandy on D-Day. We're not in Iraq. You know, we're fishing, and it's a job, don't get me wrong, but it's not life or death. I mean, you know, it might be a career choice at the end of the year, you know, that you're like, well, this is not mine or what I'm going to do. But I enjoy it the best I can, because we only live once. So, and I've been very blessed with this opportunity to get to fish. And I'm super thankful for that. It doesn't mean I'm not going to go out and give it 180,000% and try to win, but I'm still just very thankful to get to do it.
Cool. So any good sneaky baits that aren't a Booyah/Yum Pradco? Like, you got any baits you want to talk about?
You know, really, it's about, if you pull into my boat, there's 90% Pradco product in my boat.
Okay.
I mean, you know, if everybody's got a Mega Bass jerk bait in their boat or tries to, you know, I mean, they make a really nice jerk bait. But other than that, man, I stay pretty true to my colors. I mean, that's who I've been with my whole life. I mean, I've used Yum, I've used Booyah. That's, so when I was able to get with them, it was really nothing changed for me, you know. Right. That's what I've been really blessed with, because I don't want to be a guy that jumps around. That's not my demeanor. That's I try to be very loyal to who I'm with, and I'm just not a jump around. It's like Gil, you know, I've been with them, I guess this will be probably my fourth year with them now. And I, you know, very pleased with them. They've been good to me. They make a hell of a rain suit because I don't like getting wet or cold, and they take care of me on it.
Nice. Sweet. So have you been to Harris Chain before?
You know, actually, I went there last year right after our St. John's, and because I wanted to go to the Stick Marsh and check that out too. And so I went there for a couple of days, and it was good to, because I had no idea what to expect. I thought I'd pull up and it was grass from one side to the other. And there was quite a bit of grass, but it wasn't what I expected. So it was good. I ran around there for a couple of days and looked it over. I wish I'd just went ahead and spent 4 or 5 days there instead of going to the Stick Marsh and fishing. But I didn't, screwed up on that, and that ain't going to happen again. So, but if I get the opportunity like I did then to look at a lake that's a potential, I mean, you can look across the country, and I mean, our schedules aren't going to be the same every year by no means, but the high percentage lakes that we could possibly go to, if you have a chance to stop and look at them, it's never going to hurt.
Yeah. You know, if you're, you could, when you're in Florida, if you stop at Kissimmee and Harris and Okeechobee, that's that time invested will, you know, you know, knowing where the boat ramps are and knowing how those lakes lay out, it's going to save you some time in the future.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I guess as we got, you know, we got about 15, 20 minutes and then we're going to roll into the after hours and get into that kind of thing. So if you guys have been sitting on any questions, now is the time to, I mean, we've covered a lot of questions, but if you know, now is the time to let's go rapid fire and get a few more questions. One thing I might, that's going to be showing off later is, I developed just quick little, got my whole Drain the Lake season all planned out. And I've got a worksheet that I built for members that I'm going to hand, like, be able to give you guys access to. So if you want to have little drop down menus to fill out and plan your whole Drain the Lake season in a spreadsheet, that's going to be available for members in the after stream. So just looking for creative ways to help you guys out. All right, let's see here. Favorite bed fishing bait, dad bod angler.
Bad Mama. That's my, it's a very small, compact bait. Yum makes, and it's, I like the way it falls. And when a fish, if they touch it, they've got it in their mouth. Pretty, you know, I mean, it's just very compact, which I use that for.
Is that kind of like a,
creature like a bait?
Kind of a creature beaver shape type?
Yeah, it's a beaver type bait. Yeah. But it's, the body is, it falls like a tube, kind of how it'll spiral, but you get that fall of a tube, like a creature bait, but you have better, to me, I have a better hookup ratio than a tube. You know, just cause you know, a tube's got so much plastic and you're going to lose fish on it. I do anyway. I'm not sure. I'm not the Bill Lowe and I don't have the secret to sticking every fish on a tube yet.
So for flipping, are you like a straight shank, EWG, Snell? What's your go-to for that?
Yeah, I've switched. I've tried different hooks, the wide gap, the regular, I'm calling a regular, I guess what you call it, a regular offset. I don't know if you can see that. I like that for just a regular 7-inch worm. That's probably my favorite, but I've got to where I throw a straight shank almost exclusively flipping. You kind of have to, I've had to change my hook set because it seemed I was real bad about snap setting the hook instead of pulling into the fish. Mm-hmm. And it seems like I'd lose quite a few fish when I was snap setting them. But as far as my knots, I guess it's the 3-tag-in knot.
Yeah. Like the double San Diego Jam or the Pitson whatever it is.
Yep. Yes. That's I was a straight polymer guy. And I was kind of having a little bit of issue. And I think I was because I was having a little bit of burn toward the bottom of my knot. But since I switched to the jam knot, I haven't had any issue. I know it's a little bit bulky on the top of it, because normally 18, 20 pound test is what I'm going to be flipping with. You know, if I go up to 22, it's cause I'm throwing a 3/4 ounce. But my braid, I go ahead and stick with a polymer knot just cause it's super fast. I can be in and out and go on about it.
Yeah. I was the same way. I was diehard polymer But then just every once in a while, like, I don't know, one out of 20 or one out of 50, I'd pop and I'd be like,
yeah.
And then I went to that kind of jam style knot and I haven't had any issues.
You know, it's like, also like in your fluorocarbons, you have different styles of fluoro. Some are dry, some are a little bit wetter, you mm-hmm. know, just how they're made. And, but you know, I'm Sunline and I feel like it's not dry, but it seems like the jam knot works better with it for me.
Cool. So what do Okies do better than most anglers?
I think we grind a little bit harder if that, you know, and I think that comes back to our fisheries not being as plentiful or have the amount of fish in them. Like if you pull up to a point in Oklahoma, if you catch two or three fish off of it, you found the gold mine. I mean, you know, you pull up to that at Champlain and you don't even stop on two or three fish, you know. I mean, you know, like Christy, Edwin, those guys have made a living off of not a ton of fish, you know, or it doesn't seem like. I mean, Edwin's kind of got his polished stuff out deep a little bit better, but like me, Jason, we grind out six or seven bites a day, and that's just what we've done.
John says, favorite spinnerbait color for here? Let's assume here is Oklahoma. I'm not sure.
You know, Sartreuse and white's hard to beat anywhere. Yeah. The one that's got a little bit of blue in it, the Covert series,
has got a little bit of blue. Yeah.
I really like that color. I mean, it shows up well in our dirty water. And it also, you get that little bit of, you know, bluegill thrown in there with it. And our fish eat a lot more perch here than what a lot of people give them credit for, too. They're not just shad killers.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I was looking for my spinnerbaits. Like, I feel like that's, like, what I throw, too. Like, it's, yeah, you typically got some kind of chartreuse white. I feel like we've neglected the bait cam. It's time to use the bait cam. So, we'll, you know, a little bit of chartreuse white, right? Like, that's a staple spinnerbait everywhere you go. It's pretty good down in the bayou, but then let's say that. Come on, I just saw it in there. Kind of that blue glimmer color. I can't find it now. Yeah, right here, like this guy right here. Right, so this is kind of that more pearlescent blue glimmer. Mm-hmm. That's another. Like I feel like if you had two spinner baits, that it's going to work 90% of the places. Those are probably it.
Oh yeah, they'll get it done. But I think a lot of times, I think your blade combinations can make almost as much difference, if not more, sure. than your color. And, you know, if you're getting, I'm not a super clear water small or like spinnerbait guy. So, I mean, I'm being thrown in dirtier water most of the time, where chartreuse and white will get you by 97% mm-hmm. of the time. But determine on my, you know, like you said, you got a Colorado blade spinnerbait there in Willow Leaf. It's, you know, it seems simple, but that's the main difference and the main goal.
Yeah. That Colorado turtleback is what I threw in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And in the fall on Pickwick, when the water was pretty clear, it was a double willow. Yeah. Same time of the year, same event, slightly different regions, both compact spinnerbaits.
That turtleback in Louisiana is something about it.
Yeah.
That it's quite the deal. I think anywhere is super south like that, it seems like it's really good.
Is there another color fluke besides white?
Not really. I've got, you know, kind of like a smoking black, you know.
If the Elites had a three-man team, who would be the third guy besides Jason Christie and you?
Probably Hackney. I really like Hackney. I've got around him a lot, and we'd probably all fail if we had to go fish deep. That might be our downfall in life, but those two would be a lot. I'd love to get in the boat with both of them. I think it'd be a lot. I just like sit in the back and watch them. I mean, they're machines, watching them fish.
Absolutely. Two guys I respect a ton and love and the way they fish and would emulate them as well. Do you hit the ponds by the house at all when you got time?
Oh, yeah. Every chance I get. I mean, I actually, I prefer to go like try to shoot, you know, some like videos and stuff like that, because it seems like ponds are a lot more predominant for anybody can go fish them. Or little bitty tiny small lakes that you can get on and get around. That's what I grew up fishing. That's what I learned. That's how I learned to fish grass. I mean, you know, we have coontail here and it's not anything like a lot of hydrilla and deep, but it did give me some type of aspect of how to fish it. So, I mean, really, you can get your confidence up fishing ponds and stuff because you have a lot better opportunity to catch fish because you're not in a 100,000 acre lake. So you can kind of simplify your baits and get down to just like, you know, I told you when I tried to learn to throw a wacky rig yum dinger, that was in a pond, you know, and that's, I love fishing ponds. I mean, you can go catch some fish and you don't have to take a bunch of stuff with you, and you just show up and take your spinnerbait and go catch fish normally.
There you go. We didn't really talk about it. Bladed jigs. I mean, we talked about spinnerbaits and swim jigs. Are you a bladed jig guy as well? Or?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Booyah's got it. We have a melee. You know, jackhammer's the pride and joy, you know, everybody talks about, and how its head kind of hits and it makes a ticking noise.
Mm-hmm.
The melee actually also does that too. The blade is set into the head just a little bit. And when it goes back and forth, it ticks. And I actually like it around laydowns and stuff and rocks better than I do other chatterbaits. It seems like it hits them, how the head is pointed, it hits them and it'll deflect off a lot better than others. It seems like a regular chatterbait seems like it rolls right into the stump for me. Sure. And it seems like the melee does a little bit better job on that side of it for me, though.
Cool. And what's a go-to trailer? What's your preferred trailer on a bladed jig?
I kind of stay true. I throw a spine crawl in the back of it, mm-hmm. but I really like a pulse. That's probably one of my favorite. I normally throw like the little 3-inch or 3.5-inch pulse on the back of it. Stay pretty consistent. Throw wide or I throw watermelon red, you know, just
that's pretty a little easy. Pulse minnow, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little tiny swim bait. Yeah.
Also super popular on the back of the umbrella rigs, right?
Yeah.
I think we talked about this earlier. You follow it probably would be that lake, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's you know, I mean, I've caught a lot of 20-pound sacks out of it. It's a lot. It's a good lake. I mean, it's
in Oklahoma. You follow Alabama.
Yeah, not Alabama. No, I'm not a fan of Alabama's that you follow down there as much. But
yeah, I don't know. Do you know what happened to the boogie bait? Do you remember that? The one I think what happened to the boogie bait is that it didn't get around the Z-Man patent. So Booyah had it out, and it had a kind of a unique blade to it. But I think the thing that was really unique about it is that it had I think the hook was on like a steel cable, kind of like the old, there was some spinnerbaits and buzzbaits, the Leverage maybe or something.
I
think the Booyah boogie bait, besides the unique blade, it had a direct connect, you know, which, you know, I think was, and I think it went away because of that, but I think the hook was on a flexible cable, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, those go for big bucks on eBay, I think.
That's what I wish I had, some secret tackle that everybody talks about. I mean, I've got some old Smithwick Rogues and stuff that I've always kept around, but I don't have the secrets like all these other guys have.
You're not like a big wood bait guy. You don't got some secret balsa baits and none of that. You're just throwing the Booyah square bills, and
I throw a Booyah XCS1, and I'm not, like I said, I don't. You know, like what I throw is literally you can walk in and get it out of the store. I mean, when you walk in my hardware store, the baits I have up there, they're on there, and that's what I use.
Ballin, if you don't like your boogie baits, I can put you in touch with some people that'll give you $20 bills for them, and then you can buy some tackle that you want. I'm not saying I'm that person, but I know there are people that are very passionate about them.
Oh, yeah. Just go ahead and fold them up and send them to you, huh? You'll take care of them for him.
I'll just connect them. I don't need a commission or anything. I'll just connect them. I know some people don't. They like them because they feel like they don't lose fish on them, because they lose fish on traditional bladed jigs. And I think if you've got the right rod set up, I don't have issues with any of the, like, bladed jigs I fish. Honestly, that's not a concern of mine. I don't feel like I lose a lot of, I mean, you lose a fish every now and then, like anything, but I don't. And some people feel that it's a really good keeping them buttoned with that flexible hook. But
yeah, I'm with you on that. I think once you do change up your rod setup and line, and you know, there's a bunch of variables to it, and plus, heck, just the way they're eating it, you know, you're going to miss fish regardless of what you're throwing. So,
yeah. Yep. Tim sums it up. Meat and potatoes.
I keep it simple.
Nothing wrong
with
that.
I'm allergic to everything else, so that's all I can eat anyway. So I might as well just be like that fishing too.
Do you have some food allergies, you said?
No. You can make a list of what I can eat a heck of a lot faster than you can what I can't.
No, man. So that's why you don't eat much on the road, is because you probably like.
I stay pretty consistent. I like my Chick-fil-A or McDonald's, and you know, and that's really bad. I stay consistent on that because I just don't get nervous about where you go in other places to know what it's cooked in or where at or what it's on. So,
yeah, Ballin, he's a booyah for hard baits.
Booyah, Norman.
Yeah, the Pradco brands, right? Were they still called Pradco, or was it called something different?
Yeah, it's Pradco, yeah.
Sunline, fishing line?
Yep, 100%.
How about beef jerky? Is that a road snack for you?
It is. Robertson's beef jerky was real big down here in Oklahoma and several places. Now, last one I've been to is actually in Texas. Plumb down to like Temple, Texas. It seems like I went down there to a hardware show, and that was the last place I bought it. But now I think you can buy it at Love's, but it's pretty much salt and pepper seasoning on it. There's not a bunch of soy sauce, which I'm allergic to. So, but that's the only beef jerky I can eat.
It's so you gotta find limited ingredient beef jerky.
Yeah, exactly.
If you get some Jack Link's that's full of all the nitrates and sodiums and soy, it's no good.
No, not good.
John says you should have your bait should be called the Oaky Grinder. There you go.
That'd be all right. You need
a beef jerky sponsor.
I guarantee you that would be fantastic, because I could dang sure load up on that. I mean, the perfect snack in the boat, and you know, it's packed with protein.
That's a good question, Spencer. I haven't heard anybody else mention it. It looks pretty good in my preview, so. You maybe just check your connection, or maybe check the settings. Sometimes if you're watching on mobile, it'll default to like 360. If you go in and click the three dots, you can set the resolution. So that might be part of the issue. I don't know. Do you prefer rivers, lakes, or reservoirs? Where do you feel like you're most comfortable?
I don't know. I'm not a super big river rat guy. I never really fished. I didn't fish Arkansas River till 6 or 7, 8 years ago, probably. I stayed right around Eufaula and Texoma. But I've done pretty well on river systems. And I think because rivers are just grinders. I mean, you know, you catch a fish off a lay down here, you catch a rock over here, you know, just. I had always kept moving around and just fishing. And that's what I think was a lot of things. Because a river, you can get spun out on a river system, it seems like, and you just want to, well, I caught them off of this little stretch and this little stretch instead of fishing. And because you can run your boat dry, you know, on doing that stuff. And I normally made long runs just because I don't know why. I guess I like to drive my boat 70 mile an hour. And then I'd have my 3 hours to fish in a certain area, and that was it. But then, you know, lakes, I'd probably feel a little more comfortable in lakes, just because you can run more of a pattern, I guess, certain things. Because, you know, river, you can only do so much in a section of the river. Where a lake, you can have, you know, 30 different secondary points or whatever you're fishing to catch them on. And, I do feel a little more comfortable doing that than I do just hoping and praying that a fish shows up on a lay down somewhere on the river.
Cool. Yeah, Chris, we talked about it earlier. Actually, Luke said that kind of a power shot, kind of 16-pound Yum Finesse Worm, 3/8 ounce weight was kind of one of his go-to when he needs to change things up. So we talked about that earlier.
But I do throw a spinning rod every now and then with a 6-pound test, which is it takes me 30 minutes to retie because I can't see good enough to put my knots in.
So when you get really, you're gonna might have to just get a couple extra spinning combos when you go up north. Then you just tie them all up the night before, and then
and then break them all off in the first 5 minutes I'm there. There you go. Sports River drifting. So,
but Chris, it does remind me because you had a really good comment on a video on the Josh Douglas stream, and I wanted to highlight it. And I kind of wanted to get in the habit of just highlighting a few comments on videos from the week. So I saw your comment and reminded me that I queued this up. And he just commented on that, you know, Josh made some parallels between deer hunting and fishing patterns and how good hunters and good fishermen tend to have good overlap. And I thought that was a good, one of his main takeaways from the video and the stream. And so just wanted to highlight that as a good question, a good comment, and going to try to do more of that. Just highlight people. So if you guys have good takeaways or insights, love to hear it and we'll feature them. And then I picked another comment from Bassmaster Matt, who said he was all set for fancy fishing the first time this year. And that hopefully the beginner's luck is good for him. So we'll try to highlight more questions and comments in the future as I remember to do so.
Oh yeah. And now, like he just said on the hunting and fishing deal, I'm going to agree with that. Which I'm not a good hunter, but there's some, a lot of guys I know that just kind of have that knack, you know, they know what, where funnels go, what deer do. And there is a lot of sense to a lot of it and how they maneuver. I mean, look at a deer when they're in rut, you don't know where they're going to be at because they go dumb, and same way with a bass, you know, he's liable to spawn somewhere dumb and he exposes himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Tidal fisheries. You did pretty well on Winyah Bay. That was one of your top tens. I don't know if it had much to do with the tide or what your thoughts on tide is, or if you had much experience, but I did that jumped out at me when I was looking through your stats.
Yeah, it was different. I mean, that was one of those deals I found on day two or day three of practice. I hadn't caught much, didn't understand tide much, and just so happened to get three bites in one area, and that's where I spent my entire tournament, pretty much. I think I caught two or three other fish somewhere else, but that was my primary one. I had figured out where a hydrilla bed, where the fish were coming to and moving in and out of this spawning flat. And it was Katie bar the door in there on that deal. And I think if it wouldn't have got so much pressure, I think I really would have had a shot to, I had the shot to win it with, there was a few fish I lost on day four of that tournament that were very, very crucial to me. But we all lose them. It wasn't my time to win, so I didn't win. But I did get tired of driving 120 miles one way every single day.
Yeah. Cool. So we're just about to wrap things up. I'm posting a link to the After Hours members YouTube in the chat. I want to thank Luke for coming on. It's been awesome. I wanted to get you on for a while because I've been a fan of yours. I've picked you a lot on my fantasy columns for Bassmaster. I think you're doing a great job. And just want to have you on and let people know more about what you're doing there. So
yeah, I appreciate it. I had a good time.
I feel like you do a lot of the things the right way, and you're a cool guy to follow on social media. And I encourage people to go on to Instagram at Luke Palmer Fishing and check it out.
Yeah, I appreciate it, bud.
If you came in late, there'll be plenty of replay on the YouTube. You can also search Hellebass in your favorite podcasts app and catch the replays of this one, as well as many other past shows with Seth Fieder and Josh Douglas and a whole bunch of other guys. You know, last week was Jay Sikurik. So appreciate everybody for hanging out tonight. We're going to take about a 5-minute bio break, and then we're going to roll into the after hours show. So for those members, especially the new ones that joined, you guys are all invited to hang out. We're going to do kind of a fantasy fishing dive and share some tools and things like that for fantasy fishing in the kind of the after party. So I guess thanks everybody for coming on. As always, here to help you guys catch more big bass and suck less.